Today is a WRAL weather alert day. It's a level one risk, especially for our southern counties later on today. I'm going to show you the timeline coming up.
And we're following breaking news. An investigation is underway after a fire broke out around 2 this morning at a seafood restaurant in Fayetteville. Michael Grace will bring us up to speed from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker.
Summer camps are back in action here in the city of Raleigh. We're live at Chavis Park explaining how the city has prepared for a busy summer amid staff shortages.
That's some fun music. The 79th annual Tony Awards was a big one for a North Carolina native. The moment Jay Harrison Gee made history is straight ahead. We have that story and so much more for you on this Monday morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Renee Chu. And our weather out there feels like a Monday morning. We have gray and gloomy skies. We also have a severe weather risk. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking the WRAL Weather Alert Day.
And it is for the entire viewing area. And we do have some showers across the region right now, but it's likely to be, say, between 5 and 9 o'clock, mainly in our southern counties, that we'll have the best chance for some damaging wind or some hail. Let's take a look at what's happening right now. We'll start with the big picture. We have a little light shower that's moving across Wake County, a couple little cells that are developing here off to the east, mainly in Wayne County, but lifting up toward Wilson County, maybe even Edgecombe County. No thunder or lightning with those. Those are not severe. And we've also had a band of rain back to our west. That is fizzling as it moves eastward, but there could be a little bit of light rain associated with that as well. We'll take a look at what's happening here in Wake County. You can see the scattered light rain moving through from Raleigh to Gardner over toward Wendell, heading up toward Wake Forest. And then we'll head east and you can see these isolated showers popping up here in Wayne County, lifting up from Goldsboro toward Pikeville and on toward Wilson County. Here's a look at Futurecast and we'll roll through and you can see that potential for some continuing isolated showers down to the south. A little bit of light patchy rain in the triangle around 11 o'clock to noon, that band of rain finally moves through. And then when the cold front gets closer, that's when we'll see a better chance of storms popping up. This is 4 p.m., starting to see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms at that point around 5 o'clock. And then from then on, it'll be from Raleigh eastward, all the way from, say, Rocky Mount, Roanoke Rapids, back towards Southern Pines. And that line slides eastward 7, 8, 9 o'clock. By 9 o'clock, it looks like it's pretty much out of here. But that's when and where we'd have the best chance for severe storms. It's wet out there on Fayetteville Street. We've had some rounds of rain this morning, 71 degrees. Bit breezy out there. Southwest wind at 13. It is wet here in Sanford as well, where we've seen some showers. Temperatures range from mid-60s to low 70s right now. And we'll climb into the mid-80s this afternoon. We'll see a good bit of cloud cover and, of course, rain on and off today. Brian?
It is 8:03 right now. I'm going to take you out live to Cary to U.S. 1 and 64 at Tryon Road with some light rain out there. Seeing some damp roads this morning. Not coming down hard enough to see any standing water or anything like that. But as those showers come through, you definitely want to take it easy as you head out. As we check in on those live sensors around the region, you can see that we have a few crashes showing up here, including one on 40 westbound right around the Buck Jones Road Bridge area. So heading out of South Raleigh toward the west side of Raleigh and Cary, you're going to run into a little bit of a delay right around that US 1 interchange. About a 7-minute backup overall from 440 out to US 1. And then from US 1 to Wade Avenue, we're seeing about a 1-minute slowdown. And most of that is right there between US 1 and the Buck Jones Road Bridge area, Carytown Boulevard area. Coming in from Apex on US 1 northbound, about a 3-minute delay through Cary heading up toward I-40 in Raleigh. We're now tracking about a 2-minute slowdown on 87 southbound coming in from Knightdale back toward 440 and out of Wake Forest. Still looking at about a 5-minute delay on the southbound side of Capitol Boulevard heading down to the 540 interchange. A few crashes that we've been watching around Raleigh this morning, as I mentioned, but we're not really seeing any big delays. Looks like that earlier crash on Lake Boone Trail at Wycliffe Road cleared just in the past couple of minutes. Also in Durham and Chapel Hill, our major routes are looking good.
That's good news. Thanks, Brian. Following breaking news this morning, a local restaurant goes up in flames and firefighters don't think it's an accident. The fire broke out at 2:30 this morning at Fishing Pier and Seafood. Michael Grace was at the scene on Murchison Road in Fayetteville and the WRAL Breaking News Tracker.
Yeah, well, early estimations are around $75,000 worth of damage, so obviously a lot for investigators to unpack. And I want to get you to this video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker of what that scene looked like earlier this morning. You can see the entire parking lot of not only the fishing pier, but the convenience store next door blocked off with crime tape. almost all the damage from the fire inside the building. They had the forensics unit from Fayetteville PD out here inside there taking pictures as investigators also walked around with their clipboard, taking any notes that they may need. Now, the officer I had a chance to speak with said that they do plan on releasing more information about the suspicious activity that caused this fire. That should be in a press release later today. In Fayetteville, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
Law enforcement is beefing up security in Miami, Florida, where former President Trump is set to arrive today ahead of his historic arraignment on federal criminal charges. Campaign officials say Trump will spend the night at his club about 20 minutes away from the heavily protected courthouse where he'll appear tomorrow. Trump faces a 37-count federal indictment accusing him of keeping classified documents in his home after he left office. The charges have divided Republicans, and Trump's former attorney general is refusing to defend him.
He's not a victim here. He was totally wrong that he had the right to have those documents. Those documents are among the most sensitive secrets that the country has.
Donald Trump, you may hate his guts, but he is not a spy. He did not commit espionage.
Federal agents are monitoring any violent rhetoric online ahead of Trump's day in court, as well as plans for protests. In a visit to North Carolina this past weekend, Trump denied wrongdoing.
Safety concerns are growing near Raleigh's Glenwood South after a shooting sent three people to the hospital. It happened early yesterday morning on West North Street. Officers say three men were hurt. Two are expected to survive. Another has serious injuries. Last year, police reported an uptick in gun and drug-related crimes around Glenwood South. Raleigh police have not said what led up to that shooting or if they've made any arrests.
We're working to learn more from police after a man barricaded himself in his home with his wife and two children inside. Investigators in Kenley have stayed quiet about the standoff on South Wilson Street since early yesterday morning. We do know the man involved started shooting at police and that the standoff has since ended. We've made repeated calls to find out how the wife and children are doing. Witnesses say they heard gunshots and then saw an ambulance. State troopers and deputies also responded to the standoff. Kenley police have been trying to rebuild since a series of mass resignations last year.
School is officially out and many summer camps kick off today. Parents, if you still haven't signed your child up, the city of Raleigh says there is still time. WRAL's Laura Levine joins us from Chavis Park with a look at how camps are preparing to accommodate so many people. Laura.
Michelle, it is going to be a very busy summer here. Now, they're expecting about 1,200 kids per week to show up at camps like this one here at Chavis Park. We're already seeing parents drop off their kids here this morning. And some camps have wait lists while others still have some spots open. From now up until August 25th, summer camps are back in action. The city says camp registration numbers are back up this year compared to the year prior. They have roughly 300 camp staff to help accommodate the busy weeks ahead. However, during the peak of operation for seasonal staff, that number will be around 1,800. That's including other different parks and nature sites, as well as swim instructors, which has been a challenge to retain over the past few years.
Just know that summer camps, summer season is a highlight for Raleigh Parks. We prepare year round for it. It's when our staff get excited. We put a lot of energy into training, into preparation, and plans. So if you're looking for a memorable experience, get on the website, come to our pool, sign up for a swim class.
And you can find out more information if you are still looking to register your child by giving them a call, or you can head over to WREL.com where we have those details. Laura Levine, WREL News, live in Raleigh.
This afternoon, we'll find out how UNC's governing board could change to make itself more reflective of the students and the state it serves. A bipartisan commission put together by Governor Cooper will announce its recommendations. Governor Cooper tasked the commission with improving the process for choosing who leads the UNC system following years of concern about partisan influence. However, the recommendations will likely be ignored. Only state lawmakers can change the appointment process. And the Republican leaders there have already said they have no interest in making changes.
A Fayetteville native is making history at the Tony Awards.
Jay Harrison-G.
J. Harrison Gee won Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role for their performance in Broadway's Some Like It Hot. Gee, along with Alex Newell of Shucked, became the first out non-binary performers to win Tonys for acting.
For every trans, non-binary, gender non-conforming human, whoever was told you couldn't be seen, this is for you.
And another Fayetteville native, Natasha Yvette Williams, was also nominated. And the show was hosted by Raleigh's Ariana DeBose, who kicked off the show with a dance number. Last night's show was unscripted because of the ongoing writer strike. As for the top awards, Best Musical went to Kimberly Akimbo and Best Play to Leopold Schacht. The man known as the Unabomber has died in a Granville County prison. This morning, we're learning more about what led to Ted Kaczynski's death. Plus, three tourists are missing after a scuba diving boat caught fire. What we know about the search and rescue mission underway in Egypt.
Take a live look at the dual Doppler 5000 radar. We've had some showers in the last hour over Raleigh. That is starting to fizzle while we have a few more cells popping up here across Wayne County headed into Wilson County. We'll see much more activity likely later today, and that's when we'll have the best chance of seeing severe storms. I'll show you the timeline coming up.
Back on your Monday morning, take a look at this. Cool picture. This is the WRL tower cam. This is southeast Wake County. You can see all the clouds moving pretty quickly there. You're watching WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Some of us seeing some spotty showers. It is a WRL weather alert day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner here to tell us who is seeing those showers right now and who could see them later on.
It's been pretty light and patchy for us. We did earlier this morning have some heavy rain that came through just in tiny little batches. But right now, Goldsboro is looking dry. It's looking fairly dry in Fayetteville. We'll have the potential, especially late afternoon and evening, for folks along and east of I-95, say from Raleigh also down to the south, to see some scattered showers and thunderstorms. Apex wet right now. Chapel Hill has avoided seeing much rain, as we've seen it really coming in a line from southwest to northeast. Here's a look at the big picture. We have a cold front that's starting to work its way into the mountains. We had a line of severe thunderstorms along this front that has now shifted well to the south, southern part of Georgia, heading off toward Florida. So that's where the closest severe thunderstorms are to us right now. But as we get through the afternoon and we see a little bit of daytime heating and that cold front moves through our area, we have the potential to see maybe one or two storms that could produce some damaging wind. Here's a look at the current picture over our area. We have a band of rain that is quickly dissipating across our area. We had some light showers moving across Wake County. You're going to see a little light shower there in the southern part of Franklin County. We had a couple of cells popping up here around Goldsboro. Those are headed off to the north and east, may clip parts of Wilson County and Edgecombe County, but there is not much rain out there right now. You can see that a little bit of rain lifting from Raleigh up toward Wake Forest and Rollsville, and then we'll take a closer look there. Had that little shower zip through Goldsboro, heading on up to the north and east. And so that's all that's happening out there right now. We do have that severe weather threat, though, for later on today. It's a level one risk for our viewing area, damaging wind, some hail possible. We'll walk through Futurecast here, and you can see just a little bit of light, patchy rain that rolls through. Futurecast continues to show from, say, 11 to 12, this little bit of just shower activity that rolls through. And then it's likely to be closer to 5 o'clock before we begin to see the cells bubbling up that could produce some severe storms. So there's 5 p.m. By the time we get to 7, it's almost in a broken line from around Rocky Mount to Goldsboro to Fayetteville, and then it continues to slide eastward and out of here by around 9 o'clock or so. And that's where we'd have the best chance of seeing severe storms. Behind our front, high pressure builds in for a really nice day on Tuesday with partly cloudy skies and lower humidity. But another system kind of zips by us to the south on Wednesday, bringing the chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm, mainly south and east of the Triangle area. Thursday looks nice, so does Friday, but we start to really warm things up. We hit our first 90 plus degree day yesterday. We may be back to 90, 91 for Friday and Saturday. And right now it looks like we have the potential for some scattered storms for Father's Day, Brian.
It is 8:17 as we head out to the Beltline at Capitol Boulevard. There's a report of a minor crash out there on 440 westbound. Not obviously visible here on this camera, but we are seeing some delays as you approach Capitol Boulevard on 440 westbound. Taking a look at those latest sensor readings this morning, you can see the backups from 87 up to the Capitol Boulevard area. About a 4-minute slowdown overall through there. Once you get out toward Wake Forest Road and Six Forks Road, traffic's flowing pretty freely. Been looking at the sensor sensor readings with these minor crashes, not really seeing any big delays, perhaps with one exception. Looks like there is a crash between the 1010 Road and Tryon Road interchanges out there, leaving Apex heading toward Cary, and we are seeing some delays as you head away from 55 and 1010 Road. Looks like that earlier crash on 40 westbound right around Buck Jones Road has cleared. Still seeing some lingering delays, though, on the south side of Raleigh on 40 westbound from 440 to US 1, about a 6-minute delay, and then from Wade Avenue to 540 heading out to the airport and RTP, you're going to run into about a 2-minute backup overall. We're in good shape there heading out of the downtown Durham area on southbound 885. No delays heading down toward Ellis Road and I-40.
Brian, thanks. A significant update on the death of Unabomber Ted Kaczynski in a prison cell in Granville County. Sources have told the Associated Press that Kaczynski died by suicide. The Justice Department confirmed that Kaczynski died at the Federal Medical Center in Butner yesterday. However, the agency did not say how he died. There will be an investigation to determine exact cause. Kaczynski had been serving 8 life sentences. He pleaded guilty in 1998 to sending mail bombs that killed 3 people and wounding 23 others from the years 1978 to 95.
A search and rescue mission is underway in Egypt for 3 missing British tourists after a scuba diving boat carrying 30 people burst into flames. Another ship traveling in the Red Sea came to the rescue and rescued the stranded passengers as flames took over this boat. While most jumped overboard and were saved, those 3 people are still unaccounted for. A local government official said an investigation will be conducted into the exact cause of this massive fire. And Silvio Berlusconi, the media mogul who was Italy's longest-serving premier, has died at the age of 86. His television network Mediaset announced his death this morning. Berlusconi was hospitalized Friday for treatment of chronic leukemia, although a cause of death has not been officially released. The politician was elected prime minister 3 times despite a series of political, financial, and personal scandals. He served longer than anyone in Italy since fascist dictator Benito Mussolini. Sue Bird's number 10 jersey has been retired. The ceremony followed the Seattle Storm's 71-65 loss to the Washington Mystics on Sunday. Bird's jersey was raised to the Climate Pledge Arena rafters. She retired last fall as the WNBA's all-time leader in games, minutes, and assists during a career that spanned more than 2 decades. The New York native won 4 titles during her historic 19-season career with the Seattle Storm.
What a legacy she leaves behind. Well, a mother of 4 from Fuquay-Varina is struggling to pay for cancer treatment, even with a lot of help from the community. Danielle McKean is at a specialized clinic in Arizona right now as she battles stage 4 breast cancer. She's there because she says her insurance denied her access to the drugs she needs. Her family is now paying out of pocket. They raised a GoFundMe and have raised over $100,000. It's not enough to cover the costs, but McKean says she's still grateful.
My mom said something that stuck with me, and she said very few people get to see how much they're loved in their lifetime. And I've seen so much love in the past, since December, 6 months, and I'm like, thank you, God, for loving me.
If you'd like to help, we have a link to McKean's GoFundMe on WREL.com.
A skate park in Sacramento is renamed to honor Tyree Nichols. Family, friends, and community leaders held a ribbon-cutting ceremony at the park on Sunday. Nichols died after being severely beaten by Memphis police officers during a traffic stop in January. He grew up in Sacramento, and this park is where he found his love of skateboarding. Community leaders say this is the best way to honor the kind of person Tyree was.
Happening today, the President and First Lady will welcome this year's NCAA championship teams to the White House. It is part of the first of its kind College Athlete Day. Dozens of championship teams across different sports and different NCAA divisions will visit. The NCAA holds 90 championships in 24 sports across its 3 divisions. A grandma-grandson duo from Ohio just completed an epic travel itinerary, and it took them 7.5 years. Joy and Brad Ryan completed their goal to visit all 63 national parks. Their last stop, the National Park of American Samoa. Brad Ryan has been documenting their travels on Instagram. How fun! Calling the Samoa visit the best place to conclude this epic chapter of Grandma Joy's road trip. Grandma Joy knows how to have fun. Ryan says his 63-year-old grandma made history as the oldest living person to visit every U.S. national park.
Well, I've always wanted to see the bear catch the thief in Alaska. And I got to do that, and I enjoyed every bit of it. And bears have different personalities. Some of them are very nice, and some aren't very nice, just like people.
I love her spirit. I want to travel with her. The Park Service honored the pair with certificates and other gifts. The idea for the journey came after Grandma Joy told her grandson that she regretted the few trips she had taken in her life, so they were making up for it. I was going to say, she is making up for every trip that she ever probably wanted to do. And what a nice thing to be able to do with her grandson as well. I love that. What a way to create memories, such a special bond they have. And you know what kicked off their love for travel? They first visited the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which, of course, is partly in North Carolina. And then ever since then, they've been raising money on GoFundMe for all these other trips. Very lucky. That's awesome. All right, coming up, an incredible story of survival in Colombia, how crews were able to find a group of children stranded.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good Monday morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. We are watching for the chance for rain today. Some of us seeing some light spotty showers right now. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner showing us exactly where, Elizabeth.
We had some patches of, really tiny little showers that were fairly heavy earlier. Some of that has moved out of Goldsboro and really moving almost out of our viewing area right now. A little bit of very light patchy rain back to the west kind of drifting through, but we're about to get into a lull in the precipitation for now. But we do have a level one risk for severe storms. It is a WRAL weather alert day. These storms are likely to start around 4 to 5 p.m. and move out between, say, 8 and 9 p.m., moving from west to east across our area. Damaging winds and hail will be our biggest threats. You can see here in Goldsboro, we had that shower roll through. It's not looking terribly wet there right now. Temperatures are in the upper 60s to low 70s, so it's a warm and muggy start. If you're going to be walking the dog today, you should be fairly dry until we get to the evening after 5 o'clock. There'll be some storms, Brian.
827 right now. Watching some delays on the south side of Raleigh on 40 westbound. A little bit of this is congestion. We also had an earlier crash around the Buck Jones Road Bridge area, contributing to this at least a little bit. But that westbound side is a little sluggish, about a 4-minute slowdown overall, especially between South Saunders Street heading out toward Gorman Street. A few other crashes that I'm watching around Raleigh. One in Cary causing some pretty big delays right now. Cary Parkway at Kildare Farm Road. This reportedly is a crash with injuries. Seeing some pretty heavy delays, especially on that eastbound side of Cary Parkway.
All right, thank you, Brian. From now until August 11th, summer camps are back in action in Raleigh. Some camps have wait lists, but others still have spots open for kids who want to attend. We have more details on the camps available on WREL.com. Next on Fox 50, a look at how Raleigh Parks and Rec is curbing lifeguard shortages this summer. And up next on Today, a Mad Men reunion with John Hamm and John Slattery live in studio.
It is a WRAL weather alert day. Right now, we just have a few isolated showers, but I'll show you what time thunderstorms may develop across our area.
Breaking news, an investigation is underway after a fire broke out around 2 this morning at a seafood restaurant in Fayetteville. Michael Grace will bring us up to speed from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. Live in Florida today ahead of what will be a historic moment when the former president faces federal criminal charges. And all public pools in Raleigh will open for the summer today. How the Parks and Rec Department is making sure that there are not any issues with lifeguard staffing this year. They're definitely in demand for the swim season. It is 8:30. We thank you for sticking with us on this Monday. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Pools are opening today, but probably not the best day to take a dip. We have a WRAL weather alert day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has been tracking the light spotty showers all morning long. She shows us where the rain is falling right now.
Here's a look at Doppler 5000 radar. Temperatures are going to warm into the mid 80s, but it is going to be kind of a messy day today. It's not going to rain heavily really until we see that line of thunderstorms moving through, but it's damp in spots. It's warm. It's a little on the sticky side. We had a little thunderstorm that developed here down near Goldsboro. That's started to move on out. It's just a tiny cell. No thunder and lightning with that. And then just some isolated showers, but we're really seeing a lot of that fizzle pretty quickly. We had a little band of rain there sitting over Raleigh. It zipped up toward Wake Forest and just dissipated. So we're looking at the potential for a little bit of a break. Again, you can see from Goldsboro here, we had some little pocket of heavy rain, and now that is moving out of our viewing area. So here's a look at future cast, and we're likely to see just maybe a quick little sprinkle. It continues to show the potential for a shower between, say, 11 and noon, right around Raleigh and northward. But then later in the afternoon, we'll likely have some cells that pop up, most likely between 4 and 5 p.m. We could see a few isolated cells, and then we'll start to see a line developing around 6 or 7 o'clock, especially south and east of the Triangle area, and it's likely to be out of here by around 8 or 9 o'clock, and that's where we'd have the best chance of any severe storms. Here's a live look across Wake County. Looking off to the west, you can see a little bit of the ground here. You can see the clouds are starting to break up just a little bit. It's possible that we would see a little bit of sunshine closer to lunchtime, but as we see that, it's just going to energize the atmosphere and help to bring us a better chance for storms. Right now, 71 degrees, and we have a southwest wind currently. Temperatures are in the mid-60s in the north, but looking at upper 60s to low 70s in most spots. We do climb into the mid-80s this afternoon, a little cooler than yesterday's 91, but of course, we'll see a lot more cloud cover for today and a chance of some late-day storms. Tomorrow looks beautiful, but we'll have a chance of some scattered storms again on Wednesday. I'll show you coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Breaking news, a local restaurant goes up in flames and firefighters don't think it was an accident. Flames broke out at 2:30 this morning at Fishing Pier and Seafood. Michael Grace was there at the scene on Murchison Road in Fayetteville in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker.
Yeah, well, early estimations are around $75,000 worth of damage. So obviously a lot for investigators to unpack. And I want to get you to this video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker of what that scene looked like earlier this morning. You can see the entire parking lot of not only the fishing pier, but the convenience store next door blocked off with crime tape. Almost all the damage from the fire inside the building. They had the forensics unit from Fayetteville PD out here inside there taking pictures as investigators also walked around with their clipboard, taking any notes that they may need. Now, the officer I had a chance to speak with said that they do plan on releasing more information about the suspicious activity that caused this fire. That should be in a press release later today. In Fayetteville, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
Law enforcement is beefing up security in Miami, Florida this morning. Former President Donald Trump is set to arrive today ahead of his historic arraignment on federal criminal charges. Campaign officials say Trump will spend the night at his club about 20 minutes from the heavily protected courthouse where he will appear tomorrow. Trump faces a 37-count federal indictment accusing him of keeping classified documents in his home after he left office. The charges have divided Republicans, and Trump's former attorney general is refusing to defend him.
I was shocked by the degree of sensitivity of these documents and how many there were, frankly. If even half of it is true, then he's toast.
This is just feels un-American. It feels wrong at some level. And I think people are very frustrated that they don't see the equal application of justice.
Federal agents are monitoring plans for protests at Trump's court appearance and any violent rhetoric online. Trump denied any wrongdoing in a visit to North Carolina on Saturday. We're working to learn more from police after a man barricaded himself in his home with his wife and two children inside. Investigators in Kinley have stayed quiet about the standoff on South Wilson Street since early yesterday morning. We do know the man involved started shooting at police and that the standoff has since ended. We've made repeated calls to find out how the wife and children are doing and heard nothing. Witnesses said they heard dozens of gunshots in the neighborhood and an ambulance arrived on scene.
A little after the police showed up, there was arguing back and forth, trying to get him out of the house, trying to get the kids and the wife out of the house. Then a hail of gunfire later, silence. Must have been like 12 to 14, shotguns and sidearms.
State troopers and deputies also responded to the standoff. Kinley police have been trying to rebuild since a series of mass resignations last year. Safety concerns are growing near Raleigh's Glenwood South after a shooting sent three people to the hospital. It happened early yesterday morning on West North Street. Officers say three men were hurt. Two are expected to survive. Another has serious injuries. Last year, police reported an uptick in gun and drug-related crimes around Glenwood South. Raleigh police have not said what led up to that shooting or if they've made any arrests. Summer camps start today in Raleigh, and spots are still open at some programs, even as the city deals with a lifeguard staffing shortage. WRL's Laura Levine explains that could affect some of those camps and the pools they use.
Summer camps here in Raleigh are welcoming hundreds of kids back today at places like Chavis Park here behind me, and pools are back open 7 days a week. This time last year, some public pools were closed because of staffing shortages. The Parks and Rec Department was able to increase staffing this year by offering higher part-time salaries and by boosting recruitment efforts. We're told there's now employees enough to open all pools, but some facilities may still operate under limited capacity. There's still a need of about 30 more lifeguards, a dozen cashiers, and about eight more managers.
We're trying to basically rebuild to what we were in 2019, and it's taking some time, but we are moving in the right direction, and we're very happy about that. We have all our facilities open, and we're going to do everything we can to continue that. There just may be times that it's not quite 100%.
The good news, he says, that now that school is out for the summer, they are beginning to see more young people apply for these jobs. That's ranging from $11 an hour to $16 an hour. Laura Levine, WREO News in Raleigh.
If you're driving in Cary, we want to let you know about a big road closure that's set to begin today. Crews are expected to close Walnut Street between Kildare Farm Road and Walker Street. That's so contractors can widen Kildare Farm Road through the intersection. The town expects this work to last about 3 weeks. Detours will be in place until the work is finished. Commuters in Philly will need to find a new route this morning as a portion of I-95 is expected to be closed for months. This is why you're looking at the aftermath of a tanker truck fire that caused part of the highway to collapse yesterday. Officials told drivers to plan for alternate routes or modes of travel and to follow detours. The National Transportation Safety Board is sending a team to investigate. No injuries have been reported so far.
And breaking here in the WRL Live Center, J.P. Morgan Chase reaching a settlement with the victims of Jeffrey Epstein. Taking a look at video of J.P. Morgan right now, the settlement comes after depositions by top executives revealed embarrassing disclosures about the bank's longstanding relationship with Mr. Epstein. In a case titled Jane Doe versus J.P. Morgan Chase, victims accused the bank of enabling the sex trafficking operation by allowing for massive amounts of withdrawals of cash over a 15-year period. A different case brought by the U.S. Virgin Islands remains unresolved. Of course, the settlement did not mention a settlement amount.
All right, Ken, thank you. Praise is pouring in this morning for a Fayetteville native who just made history at the Tony Awards.
Jay Harrison G
won Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role for their performance in Broadway's Some Like It Hot. G, along with Alex Newell of Shucked, became the first out non-binary performers to win Tonys for acting.
Thank you for the humanity. Thank you for my incredible company who raised me up every single day, who love me, who support me, and help me do the work that I do, and we do it together. As we say in the show, some like it hot, and that ain't bad. Honey, and that's the gospel according to Jay.
My goodness, how amazing. Another Fayetteville native, Natasha Yvette Williams, was also nominated. Last night's show was hosted by Raleigh's Ariana DeBose, who kicked off the show with a dance number. It was unscripted because of the ongoing writer's strike. As for the top awards, Best Musical went to Kimberly Akimbo and Best Play to Leopold Stadt. Four children have been found alive in the Amazon jungle 40 days after their plane crashed. Up next, the miraculous survival and how rescue crews track them down. Plus, higher energy costs could pose a risk to people's health this summer. We'll hear from an expert on how families who are dealing with an energy insecurity can save some money on their bills. And today is a WRL weather alert day. You're looking live at cloudy Goldsboro. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner will explain when we could see impacts in our area. It is 8:44 as we take a live look at the gray skies over Lake Gaston. We have gray and gloomy skies all across the viewing area, setting the stage for our WRAL weather alert day. We had some light showers moving through this morning. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has been tracking those and what's to come later this afternoon.
That's mostly over. We still, of course, have our cold front that's moving out of the mountains. It's going to be crossing the Piedmont. And as it gets closer, we'll see the potential for some thunderstorms to fire up. But well ahead of it, there was a line of rain that's mostly fizzled out at this point. We've also had another little line here. Look at the thunderstorms that are starting to pop up here. But that's east of our viewing area, and those are headed east and away from us. So we didn't see any lightning with the little cells that popped up here, but as it's moving eastward, it's moving into a little juicier atmosphere. Here's a look at this little band of showers that just came right across Raleigh and fizzled over Wake Forest and Rollsville. And then we'll take another look here. We had an isolated shower. It looked a little heavier there in Goldsboro, but it lifted north of Snow Hill and sort of dissipated. But east of that is where we're seeing some of those thunder and lightnings. Symbols starting to pop up. We do have a level one risk for severe storms across our area later this afternoon. It's likely to be from, say, up around Roanoke Rapids to Raleigh, down toward the Sand Hills and eastward. Closer to the coast, you can see the yellow. That's where there's a level two risk for severe storms, but that does not include our viewing area. Damaging winds, some scattered hail is possible with these storms that come through. We take a look here at 9 o'clock. It's still showing a little bit of light activity. It's really died down a bit more than that. The futurecast continues to show maybe a little shower that swings through between 11 and 12 and then out of here. And then after that, we get closer to 5 o'clock and we begin to see a few storms starting to bubble up. They start to form a little bit of a line around, say, 7 o'clock from Rocky Mount to Goldsboro to Southern Pines. And then by 9 o'clock, really starting to pull on out of the viewing area. So anytime from 5 to 9 is when I think we'd have our best chance of seeing severe storms, especially from the Triangle area eastward. We take a look here and you can see a few holes in the clouds. You can see a little bit of the ground there. We might see a peak of sunshine or two today, but more likely it'll stay gray all day. It is 71 with a dew point of 67. That's pretty high, especially compared to what we've seen over the last several months. So it feels sticky out there, which you would imagine since we have some rain that's going to be moving in. 85 in Raleigh and Durham, 89 in Fayetteville. Those are our high temperatures for this afternoon. Our dew point has climbed on up to steamy at this point, almost to tropical. And you can see the green shaded area here. That's where we are seeing some higher dew points or more moisture. Once our front comes through this evening, we'll see drier air moving in behind that, and it's going to feel nice for us. For Thursday, our dew point will be back down into the 50s, and then it's in the low 60s Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But as we get toward the end of next week, we do start to see our temperatures warming up from 83 tomorrow to 88 Thursday, and then we're into the 90s on Friday and Saturday. Late Wednesday, we could see an isolated shower in our southeastern counties, but right now it looks like the best chance for rain all week. Wouldn't you know it, would be Father's Day with a chance of some scattered storms.
Elizabeth, thanks. A person in custody this morning after shooting leaves three men dead and three other men hurt in Maryland. This is new video of the scene where investigators have been for hours gathering evidence. They say the shooting happened at a home Sunday night in Annapolis. Officers say the victims' ages range from 20s to early 50s. The mayor spoke out about the tragedy.
People trying to resolve issues with guns. It is the most ridiculous thing that we can do as a society. We have to do things to stop this. Our department and all the departments that are helping us will work through the night to get to the bottom of this. We are saddened for the families, saddened for Annapolis that they have to deal with things like this.
Police say the person in custody is being called a person of interest at this time, and no charges have been filed. So far, investigators have not determined a motive for the shooting. They do say they believe it was not random and that the public is not in danger. And new details are emerging this morning about how four children miraculously survived for 40 days alone in the Amazon jungle after a plane crash. According to the Colombian military forces, the children ate cassava flour. It's commonly used by indigenous tribes in the Amazon region. They also ate fruits and seeds that they found. The children's grandmother says the oldest child, who's 13, has always taken care of her siblings, including the youngest, who is just 11 months old. These pictures from the search team shows half-eaten fruit and small footprints in the rainforest, which helped lead them to their rescue. Authorities say the children had been missing since May 1st. Three adults, including their mother, were killed in the plane crash. And this morning, the search continues for a rescue dog who was found by the kids during their time in the Amazon. His name is Wilson. Authorities say he's part of the Special Forces team, but disappeared on May 18th while out searching for the children. The kids say they spent about 3 or 4 days with him before they got separated.
Thousands of people in the Philippines are being forced out of their homes this morning as a volcano spews lava and sulfuric acid. Officials there say they recommend anyone within about 4 miles of the danger to be evacuated. So far, about 88% of people have left to seek safety. Mount Mayan last erupted in 2018. It displaced thousands of villagers and left nearby towns coated in thick ash.
A British man is in police custody after climbing without any equipment to the 72nd floor of a building in Seoul, South Korea. The 20-year-old was trying to climb to the 123rd floor of the Lotte World Tower, which is the world's fifth tallest building. Firefighters were able to rescue the man and then handed him over to police.
Health officials worry that people who can't keep up with high energy prices will lose their electricity in the midst of the summer heat. Ted Linder takes a closer look at the ongoing energy insecurity crisis and what you can do to help lower your bills.
With temperatures rising ahead of the dog days of summer, public health experts worry higher energy prices could pose health risks for people struggling to pay their electric bills.
Energy insecurity is a pervasive problem.
1 in 4 households experience energy insecurity every year. This according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. Roughly 3 million people had their electricity or natural gas shut off after missing a bill last year alone.
I think we will see this problem continue to grow. And in fact, it's going to be households that are on the margin that haven't experienced energy insecurity before that are pushed into it as their bills might rise just a little bit.
Data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics reveals electricity prices rose a little more than 14% between 2021 and 2022. And while prices are starting to come down, they're still higher than before the COVID-19 pandemic. Sanya Carley of Indiana University has been studying energy insecurity for years. Her team is revealing a new site which tracks utility disconnections, energy company and state financial assistance programs, and more, so that most at risk can understand their options.
Households that have members that have electronic medical devices, households of color, are far more likely to be energy insecure.
When people can't pay, Carley says many resort to dangerous ways to come up with money, like skipping meals. Instead, she recommends contacting your utility provider and asking for help, as well as suggesting ways to enhance your home's energy efficiency to lower your bills.
Sealing your doors, sealing those gaps in the wall, making sure that your HVAC system's working.
That was Ted Linder reporting.
There's a new supply chain threat this morning. It comes as the Port of Seattle remains closed. Work at the port came to a halt on Saturday. The Pacific Maritime Association says it's because of tense contract negotiations between members of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union. Experts say workers are demanding a share of the huge profits ocean container companies made during the pandemic. Here's something you don't see every day. A lobstering crew caught a bright orange American lobster earlier this month along the southern coast of Maine. The color comes from a genetic mutation. A marine scientist says the chances of catching one of these is 1 in about 30 million. The lobster will spend the rest of its days at the University of New England's Marine Science Center.
It's not going to be lobster chowder. Which is some good news. All right, calling all cheese fanatics, the University of Wisconsin-Madison Center for Dairy Research needs a dairy taste tester, particularly for cheese and pizza. Sign me up. The person will need to be able to describe the appearance, texture, taste, and smell of the products. The chosen tester would participate on panels, enter their scoring on ballots, and be in on training discussions for products. The tester would taste up to 24 cheese samples and 12 pizzas a week. The job is part-time. It pays $15 an hour. I would do that job for $15 an hour. My goodness. All right, before we go to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.